Okay, Sunday night, ladies, shiur, cheres halvavos. I'm not quite sure what we're doing tonight yet. I think we're going to start with the. I think we'll do a synopsis of what the story thus far. So first, we have to, since we're learning cheres halvavos, and according to the cheres halvavos, the foundation of our avodas Hashem is hakaras hatov. To Hashem for giving us life, for making it all work, all the systems in our bodies and everything else. That's what the first few Sha'orim, it's very structured, Chayvus Halvavus. So first it's Shar HaYichud, where you develop an awareness of Hashem's existence. Then there's Shar HaBechina, where you study nature and you contemplate how everything in the universe works, whether it's biology or astronomy or physics, chemistry, everything, the digestive system of the body. You just think about these things and contemplate them, and you realize that Hashem is constantly bestowing Tov to us, and he makes it all work, and we're Makir Tov because of that. Then comes Shar Avodas Elokim in Chavis Halvavos. Very, very structured, the Chavis Halvavos. After you have an awareness that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you develop your sense of HaKaras HaTov, because you realize all that he does for you, right? If you examine the human eye, and you read books about the human eye, I came across a book that really is based on Rabbi Avigdor Miller's writings, and it's a book about the flow of Sabore in everyday things, and in the human body, and plant life, and food, and everything. So then you have Shar Avodas Elokim, because our Avodas Elokim, according to the Chayus Halvavos, should be based on, not blind, like, why should I be obedient? Like, why? Because I'll get punished if not. It's pretty pathetic. It's a pathetic reason to be Oved Hashem. So the Chayus Halvavos says, as the Ramban says in many places in Chumash, that it's out of a sense of HaKaras HaTov. That's where our Avodas Elokim should spring from. So that's why the third Shara, Shara Avodas Elokim. So what's after Shara Avodas Elokim? Shara HaBitochen. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I was saying, so since the whole Chavis Halvavos is based on HaKaras HaTov, so we start off today's Shir by thanking Mrs. Schaefer. Is she here? Oh, for the use of her house. And I thank her and Mrs. Manrix for putting such a letter. I didn't realize I gave such a sophisticated shiur. I hope it's as sophisticated as the letter was. You really captured it was a remarkable letter. It wasn't just, please come, Rabbi Mlinowitz feels so lonely. I'm so happy. Like, you really captured the business with calling it a bank account. And in a time of crisis, you can't just pluck bitachon out of the thin air and say, okay, I got to have bitachon. You're not going to have it. You have to develop it. You have to work on it. It's an avoda. And that's really a very important point. So I want to thank them.
They were your words. They were not our words.
Okay. And I want to mention that the shiurim here, Ali Li Nishmas, I forgot the name.
Chaim Ephraim.
Chaim Ephraim. That's your
father.
Father Olam Hashalom. Chaim Ephraim Ben Natan. Okay, this is Ali Li Nishmas. I guess since this is a shiur for women, so you can all appreciate what it means to open your house to a group of people. Right? You'd rather it be, you have to clean. You can't have the house be dirty. Other women are coming. They're going to see the house in disarray. So every Sunday night, you got to clean this. So there's a chorus of Tov, and it's not a simple thing to do. Okay. So since there are new faces here, I think. So I decided, I hope the old, not old, Chas V'Shalom, no woman is old. But I hope the
regulars,
the heretofore regulars of the shiur will be moichel me and bear with me. I think today is going to be really a synopsis of Shara Bitochem. Is that okay? So, I should have stayed home today and just told Mrs. Manrix to give a synopsis. Okay. Now, the name of the Sefer, technically, is Toras Chovas Halvavos. It's a good riddle if you want to amaze your friends. And in Jeopardy, it might come up, you never know. It's called Toras Chovas Halvavos. That's the technical name. And he writes in his Hagdama, why does he call it Toras Chovas Halvavos? Because it's a Shulchan Aruch. He didn't write a Musa Sefer. He wrote a Shulchan Aruch, a how-to manual, he writes, that he's writing a way to develop Chovas Halvavos. And that's why we've seen all throughout, it's so structured, the Sefer. And if you ever heard of the Book of Lists, so the Chovas Halvavos was the first. He's always making lists. It's five of this, and six of this, and seven of this. It's very, very, it's a manual, it's a how-to manual. It's very systemized. He doesn't mean it as, it's not Musar. It's a systemized manual of how to achieve the things he talks about there. And that's why one step leads to another. And we really said in the beginning that really, the women, anybody should take the class, the shiur, and you really make workshops out of it. That's how structured it is. It's like, okay, like this week, let's say, or this month, we're going to work on this, this point that he makes. And then he builds up, and this point leads to the next point. And that's how the Sefer is structured. Certainly in Shaar HaBitachon, in particular, it's really a how-to manual. And you know, we're going to be learning it. It's going to be words. It's only words. I don't know if I would know how to run a workshop. Not my thing. I don't know how. So when it's words, so you say, I don't know, why are we spending so much time? It's pretty boring. Yeah, I'd be talking. I don't. Yeah, I'd be talking. What are you learning all this for? Just have be talking. So I don't know. I hope in the synopsis we decided it's better if it's not so text-based. We decided as we go through the Shaar HaBitachon, it indeed will not be as text-based as it was these last few months. But as we go through the points, so if you take notes, so really, like, we'll go through a lot of points, but each point is something to work on. I don't know, nobody's gonna, there's manners maybe, you gotta make workshops out of this, but you realize, like, each point in the Bitachon manual, which he writes it is, you say, okay, like, this week, I'm gonna work, don't try to say, okay, tomorrow morning, I'm going to start having bitachon. Follow the Chovas Halvavos. Develop it. He says, first think about this. Do that for a week, for a month maybe. There's no rush. You have a whole life. And the next month, I'll think about the next point he makes. Then you will really be kone bitachon, the way he wants you to. But if you just read it or listen to my marvelous words, it's really not going to... It's not going to do anything for you. And the purpose of this class is not to fulfill my contractual obligations to give a shiur to women. It's to mitzvah Hashem, something should be accomplished. So please keep that in mind. As this week and next week, and possibly even a third week, we'll be going much faster than we would ordinarily, because we're really just hazarding what we've learned already in a synopsis form. But really, the points are very specific and should be used and practiced. Okay. Now, Chovas Halvavos gives a psicha to Shaar HaBitachon. And what does he do in the psicha? In the psicha, he's like, he's writing an ad. He's writing an advertisement for Bitachon. because he wants to convince you that if that it's a wonderful thing to have bitachon. Sure, it's a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah, and it's a midah tova. But it's much more than that. The Chayyus Halal is a very practical person. He tries to convince you. He writes in the psicha. He's trying to convince you that it's a tool to develop, to be calm, and to be serene, and to cope with life. And it puts a whole new perspective on your whole relationship with Hashem. It's transforming. It's really, and it works, and it's such a great thing to do, and it puts you on the right track, and it makes you happy. Like, it's like, you know, they used to go around selling things. You know, this will make your hair grow back, and this, and it'll make you lose weight, and it's not fattening, and it'll make you happy, and it'll. So that's what he does about bitachon in the psicha. He wants you to know this is the greatest thing in the world, and it's going to change your life. Besides that, it's a mitzvah and it's a chiyuv, and you should have it. So again, to sum up what I'm saying, Chavis Halvavos writes the Shar HaBitachon as a how-to manual with steps how to develop bitachon. That's how he writes it. And in the psicha, he gives a hakdama, an introduction, it's an advertisement to say how wonderful it is. That how would you like to develop a midah which will make you enjoy life and be successful in life and make you emotionally stable and emotionally happy and able to cope, and it will help you socially and emotionally and mentally and help you in your avodas Hashem. How would you like something like that? Just learn this Shar HaBitachon. And that's what you'll have. So you say, okay, let's go. Wow, let's go. Okay. He writes in the first paragraph of the psicha, again, because the love is very structured, right? First comes the sefer, Shar HaYichud, we said, then Shar HaBchina, where you develop Hakaras HaTov, then Shar Avodas Hashem, where he explains that we have to be Ovid Hashem out of our sense of Hakaras HaTov, and then Bitachon. Why? So he says that if we're going to start talking about being Ovid Hashem, he writes in the very first paragraph, Ra'isi, I decided to now write about the thing that's, listen to this, it's the most important thing, the most important midah to an Ovid Hashem. So he says, so that's next. After we talk about that, you have to be an Ovid Hashem, I'm going to write about the most important midah. It's going to define your whole life. It's going to just change you. This is the primary, this is it. This is the most important midah, and that's bitachon. Because bitachon will help you in Olam Hazeh, and it will help you in Olam Haba. It's the most all-encompassing midah. Okay, before I give a synopsis of the psicha of the hakdama to Shar HaBitachon, which is a pretty nice size, the psicha to Shar HaBitachon. Again, all he does in the psicha is try to convince you how wonderful it is to have bitachon and how great it is. I really want to first talk about, I feel we should chazer over our definition of bitachon, at least in this shir, because it's not absolutely clear what it is. It's not simple. It's not a simple thing to define. It's alternatively translated as trust or security or faith or hope or reliance. It's not so clear what it is, and it's a little confusing to people whether it's I'm allowed to have bitachon in Hashem that things will work out, or does it just mean komai da'ovid rachmono l'tavovid, I just, whatever happens, it's probably for the best. Is that bitachon? That's what it means having bitachon, or does it mean I anticipate that it, things will work out good? Like, what exactly does it mean? So, again, since there are so many new faces here, so why talk about bitachon and how to develop it and how to bikona it and how to acquire it and how wonderful it is? And then you say, well, what's bitachon? Good question. What exactly is bitachon? Now, we could define it after the Chayvus HaLavus is finished. He never really says directly what exactly it is. It's funny, the closest he comes to saying what it is he says it's a sense of serenity and calmness. That's what he says. That's the closest he comes to actually detailing the nitty-gritty of what it is. But that's clearly not the very basic definition of bitachon, is to be calm. That's not what it means. So, it, you know, we can go through the whole Chayvus HaLavus, and then I can give a drasha saying, based on the Chayvus HaLavus and everything that he said, this is what bitachon means. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say now, and I'm ask you to trust me. And this is a complicated inyan. The Chazon Ish writes about it. Mr. Melio, it's out there in the Sfarim, and it trust me, it's not so clear what it is. It's really like, what exactly am I allowed to think, and what am I supposed to think? So, in this class, at least, in this class, is this bitochen is as follows. You have to know what the definition is. First of all, to realize you have to think of it as an active verb, not a passive one. You have to do something. You're doing something. What are you doing? So I think the best word that I like is you're relying. You're relying on Hashem. And really, in things that we do, in everything that we do, we're always relying on something. If we would put Hashem out of the picture, so to speak. So, you're always relying on something. You go to Yerushalayim on the bus. So, you're relying. You're relying that the bus is not going to break down. You're relying that the driver is going to get you there. We're always, when I cross the street to the Makolas to buy a container of milk, because my kids have to eat breakfast. So, I'm relying that the milk has been delivered there, and that I will get across the street safely, and that the guy will sell it to me. There's no such thing, I'm just living. You're always relying. Whenever we do things, we put a cake in the oven, we're relying that the oven's going to work and it's not going to blow up and everything's going to work the way it should and the ingredients are going to... Right? We're always relying on something. The avoda of bitachon is to relegate all these things to secondary status and to realize... Not to realize. It's active. To rely on Hashem. It's Hashem that's going to get me across the street. It's Hashem that's... Whatever you usually rely on, I'm going to Yerushalayim. I'm relying on the bus driver to get me there. No, I'm not. I'm relying on Hashem to get me to Yerushalayim. I'm relying on Hashem that the cake should come out. And this is a training. You have to train yourself. And the Chayvus HaLavus will give us the steps needed to reach that madrega where, as we go through life, we're able to actively, not passive. I'm relying on Hashem. I just worked for a week. It's Thursday. So I'm getting paid now. So what am I relying on? I have to make Shabbos. I'm relying that my boss is going to pay me. I just worked for a week. No. I'm relying on Hashem that I'm going to get that money. Everything in the world, everything, our lives, it's a very humbling thought. Everything is controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't need my examples to tell for me that you don't need, it's very easy for the boss to look up to you and say, I'd love to pay you, but I don't have any money. What do you want me to do? And all of it, but wait a second, I was relying on you to make Shabbos. I was relying on this money. So, you rely on Hashem. Right? You rely on people, you rely on money, you rely on your own abilities, on your own chachma, you rely on protectia, you rely on anybody or anything. It's not. Now, the role of hishtadlus, if you say, well, if I'm relying on Hashem, so I'll stay in bed and eat bonbons the whole day, and Hashem will give me whatever I want. So, now we'll talk about that. We'll talk, the Chayvus Halvavus will address that issue, that if you are able to do that, then everything is controlled by Hashem ultimately, and I'm relying on Hashem. So why do anything? He'll address that. So the point, so the word I'd like to use is reliance. And therefore, the question is no longer like, what am I allowed to want Hashem to do? Whatever you would normally anticipate to happen, whatever you expect to happen, whatever's normal, whatever, as we go through life, we expect to be healthy, we want to get through crises, we want serenity, we want to be calm, we want things to work, we want to have nachas from our children, you have to work. I'm relying on Hashem. You get on the bus, try to think to yourself, realize that you're relying on the bus company that manufactured the bus, that the wheels are not going to fall off. You are. If you thought the wheels would fall off and the engine would blow up, you wouldn't go on the bus. So you're relying, right? You're relying that the bus was put together properly and it's not going to blow up. You are relying on that. So you say, no. I mean, yeah, I'm relying on Hashem that the laws will work and that if it's put together correctly, it's not going to blow up. Hashem is controlling that. Hashem did that. Hashem created that. Hashem made that. Hashem sustains that. And it's Hashem that's going to make sure it doesn't blow up. I'm relying on Hashem. I'm not relying on the bus driver. The bus driver could be angry, right? You're relying on the bus driver. The bus driver could be angry. He had a fight with his wife that morning. He's in a bad mood. He wants to cut off every guy in every lane. He had a little too much to drink last night. Al tiftchu b'nedivim, b'ven adam, she'ein lo teshua. Don't rely on people. Rely on Hashem. Okay, so that's really, I think, a basic definition of bitachon is that whatever you're doing, whatever's going on in your life, whatever you want to happen, you want the cake should come out good. You're not relying on the oven and Betty Crocker or whatever. You're relying on Hashem, and that's work. It takes work. It's active. You have to train yourself, force yourself, so to speak. You have to train yourself. Chavis Avodos will smooth the way. This is the how-to manual. How to have bitachon in Hashem. What to think about, what to realize, what to contemplate, what to become aware of, that having bitachon in Hashem will become second nature. And it won't be so hard anymore. Once you realize how Hashem functions and what Hashem is, and once you spend time thinking about how Hashem is kol yachol and how he's meitiv, and how he controls all, and everything he wants to happens, and nothing that he doesn't want to happen doesn't happen. And that's what the Shara Bitochen does, step by step, and you practice little by little, then it becomes second nature. Yeah, of course I'm relying on Hashem, make sure. From many, many sources, and many psukim and tehillim, and the like, we see that there's a schar for bitachon. And the schar for bitachon is fulfillment of what you would like to happen. That's not what bitachon means. Bitachon just means to rely on Hashem. Again, in life, in things that are reasonable, we're not allowed to rely on Hashem to perform miracles. Right? So we rely on, as we'll see in the Chayvus Halvavus, so we rely on Hashem. But all of a sudden, we'll see how that transforms your life. All of a sudden, you're not scared of people anymore, and you're not nervous. Oh, if I do this, then this guy will get angry, and then I'll get into a fight. And this, I'm relying on Hashem. That's all. I don't have to be afraid of anybody else. But there's a schar, right? There's a schar, Hashem. It's like every schar. I mean, it's not 100% guarantee, but a schar of bitachon is that what you would like to happen, and you're relying on Hashem. You want this shidduch to go through. You want to get this job. You went to the job interview. The midah of bitachon is not to rely on how on your resume, not to rely on how you dressed for the interview, not to rely on your qualifications even. You're relying on Hashem. You want the job, you have to train yourself. I'm relying on Hashem. That's a chiyut, that's the mitzvah, that's what you're supposed to do. That's the midah of bitachon. And that makes you serene and calm and accepting. And we'll see everything about bitachon. Then there's a bonus, a schar. Hashem says, not a guarantee, but it's a schar. There's tens, maybe scores of psukim and tehillim that say, if you truly rely on Hashem, you'll get the job. It'll happen. That's your schar. That's a reward. Bitachon doesn't mean that I am sure that Hashem will get me the job. It means I'm relying on Hashem to get me the job. That's who I'm relying on. I'm not relying on the boss, on my cousin who's recommending me, on my resume. I'm relying on Hashem because He controls all. Very hard work. It's really hard work to truly, because it's in your heart. Someone asked me if they should buy a more expensive plane ticket because the better security on El Al, or they should buy a cheaper ticket and it's not so secure. They'll be nervous. But maybe Bitachon says they should go. Maybe Bitachon says they should go on the cheaper, on the cheaper ticket on the plane with less security. So does Bitachon demand that they? Does Bitachon demands that you're not, if you're going to sit on the plane and your heart's pounding, so that you've already, there's no point. There's no mitzvah to go on the plane and have your heart pound. The mitzvah is to go on the plane and your heart's not pounding, because if the case is that it's just a question of degree, it's not that this is a dangerous plane. You're not going on United Arab Emirates. You're not going on Air Arabia. You're going on a normal plane. You're going on Continental. So the trick of bitachon is saying, I'm relying on Hashem. I'm not relying on the agents that are questioning the people in the airport and making profiles. And I'm not relying on the machine that's trying to detect if there's a bomb canister and suitcase. I'm relying on Hashem. And I'm allowed to rely on Hashem in Continental. It's not somchin al hanes. So then your heart's not going to pound. So that's... But if your heart's going to pound, there's no point. There's no mitzvah to make believe you have bitachon. So.
What about saying, if I'm meant to be blown up on this plane, I will be, if I'm not, I won't.
That is a midah, but it's not the midah of bitachon. That's a different midah. That's a midah. You could say, call my David, I could you brichu the tav of it. Or you could have a fatalistic attitude towards life. But that's not what we're talking. Bitachon is to say, I know I wouldn't get on that plane if I wouldn't be relying on X to get me to my destination. I mean, most people wouldn't. Normal people wouldn't get on the plane unless the person has a suicide wish. So bitachon means to work on focusing that reliance on Hashem, not on the agents and not on all these things. The schar of bitachon is that you'll get the job. You'll be safe. It'll be okay. That's the reward. So some say it's just a reward. It's a schar. And that's what it seems in Tehillim. That's what a reward that's promised. But again, I'm sorry for repeating myself for the... But I heard a very I think it's, I want to say it over, please. It's very, it gives you a grasp on bitachon. I saw in a sefer a hesber, why, like there's a system to this. And it's based on the pasuk, lahagit ki yasher Hashem tzuri v'lo avlosa bo. So the question is asked, you know, ki yasher Hashem, okay? Hashem is yasher. But v'lo avlosa bo is pretty faint praise, okay? He's not going to do something. He's not going to mess me up. He's not going to do an avla. No, that's, it doesn't seem like that's such a great way to praise Hashem. And you've already said he's a yashar. So now you're saying, lo avlosobo, he's not doing an avla. So the answer was that imagine the scenario where you need a ride to the airport because you have to catch a plane. You have to visit a sick friend, or you have to go to a job interview that it seems like this is the breakthrough that you need, and you don't have a car and you don't know how to drive, no taxis available, it's 3 a.m, and you call up someone and you say, I'm relying on you to take me to the airport. I'm relying on you. That's it. I have no other, I don't have anyone else that can do it. It's really, it's you. It's you. You're the one. You're the one I'm relying on. And you hang up the phone. You don't give him a chance to answer. No answer. Now, let's say he's able to come. And let's say he doesn't come. So you're waiting. That's an avla. There's a specific avla if you know someone's relying on you and truly relying on you, and he put all his eggs in that basket, and you can do it. There's nothing really stopping you from doing it. There's no reason why you shouldn't do it. But, you know, ordinarily you wouldn't do it. Who says he deserves it? Why should you go out of your way to do it for him? Why? Mechitesi. Well, you know, you can't start giving people, whoever calls you up, right? Whoever calls you up because they need a ride, you're going to go give them a ride. But this person called you up and said, can you do me a favor and take you to the airport? Think about this. One person calls you up and say, can you please take me to the airport? Another person calls you up and say, pretty please, can you take me to the airport? Another person goes up and says, I am relying on you to take me to the airport. I'm relying on you. I have no other eitzah, and click. There, that's tzuri v'lo avlosa bo. If we truly rely on Hashem, this idea that the schar of truly relying on Hashem, the schar, that's not what bitochen means. Bitochen means, it's a verb, to rely on Hashem. Can I rely on Hashem? You rely on Hashem that you will get the job? Yeah, you're relying on Hashem, but you don't know you'll get the job. You can't demand of him that you'll get the job, but you're not relying on all these external factors which people normally rely on. When you go eat breakfast, you're not even relying that there's food in the refrigerator. This is really very high madrega. You're not, why is there bread in the freezer? There was bread there last night. No one broke into the house. So I'm relying on Hashem that I have breakfast. And you train yourself to always rely on Hashem. That's the midah. So whatever you, but the schar is that it'll happen because suri v'lo avlosa bo. Hashem is not only a yashar, but he won't do an avla. And there's a specific, we'll call it avla, when someone is truly relying on you. So even if it's something that you normally would not do in the larger scheme of things, you wouldn't do it for any one of a number of reasons. You wouldn't do it. He doesn't deserve it. You don't feel like it, whatever. But he's relying on you. That's already an avla. You know, he's sitting there on the curb. He has all of his suitcases packed. He's looking at his watch. The minutes are ticking by. The plane, you know, he's going to miss boarding time. and he's relying on you. So that's what we say. L'hagid ki yasher Hashem tzuri v'lo avlo sabo. You want to know if it's 100% guaranteed that it will always happen? Obviously not, but we don't know why not. Some sources say that if you truly, truly, in the depths of your heart, truly have full bitachon, sky's the limit. It'll happen. It's hard to say, you know. We're talking about chovos halvavos. We're talking about two people can go through life. Two people can go to the same job. And one person is relying on Hashem for their paycheck, and one person is relying on the boss for the paycheck. And you look at them, you don't see a difference. So this is just, we'll leave it as an unanswered question. And we can't ultimately fathom all the cheshbonos and beis din shel ma'ala. But we do know from tens and scores of psukim and tehillim, and from many other sources, that the degree to which you bateach b'Hashem is not only does it do all the great things that Chayim Zalvavus talks about, but it also leads to fulfillment of what you would like to happen as a reward for having bitachon, or as I just explained it now, it's a deeper kind of reward. It's tzuri v'lo avlosabo. Hashem won't mess us up if we're truly relying on Him.
Yeah. In discussing planes, I have a more important question. How about doctors? I heard once the speaker say that not only should we go to a doctor, but the best doctor. And I found that very
It's a very good question. I can't really
answer. Because especially today, when there was in the Hamadiya, that I kind of had aware of it, they listed a number of mistakes that doctors make. So really, how much can you rely? And I happen to know a doctor in Bastanich, where I live, but he was taken to the hospital, and he was a doctor himself, and he said to his wife, take me out of here, they're killing me here. I'm telling you.
Well, you know, it's hard to decide
so
what to do.
So how much really that's should called, if you really...
Oh, that's the question. Anecdotal
we do know the
stories, everybody has stories.
You know. Doctors at all. He never wanted to see
so I'm going to answer you that I'm not going to answer you. That the Chayvus Halvavus discusses doctors in Perek Shlishi. Again, he builds up, it's a workbook, a workshop, it's a manual, and he discusses doctors at a very specific point in time when you're ready for it. He has a whole discussion about doctors. So it really makes sense to wait till we get up to there. Emitz Hashem.
I personally don't follow doctor's advice.
Okay. Okay.
Because they, I never forget, I'm not kidding. I was so weak, I had the flu, to do that. A stress test. Now, I happen to read medical books, so it says there many people can die from a stress test. You know, you go on those, and you go up, popular. So I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't feel in a position to take it. I didn't take it.
Okay.
So
let me go through the psicha again, a synopsis of the psicha, where he says the Chayyus HaVavus makes a list of all the benefits of bitachon. He doesn't talk about bitachon. He doesn't talk about how to acquire it, how to develop it. He just talks about its to'alios, as it's called, its benefits, the to'elos of it. So, in his number one. In number one, by the way, is where he makes the point that you're always boteach in something. Don't kid yourself. You don't say, I'm an independent person. I don't trust anybody or anything. I live my life. You're always relying on something. Even if it would be true what I just said, so you're relying on your own ingenuity and on your own capabilities. So you're always, he makes that point in number one that you're always relying on something. And then he says, a most fundamental principle, really, and this is quoted very often, and it's extremely fundamental. He says that when a person that's not boteach b'Hashem, he talks about the negative. He barely mentions the positive side. He talks about the negative side. If you're not boteach b'Hashem, so Hashem says, okay, have it your way. Hashem's mesalek his hashgacha from you, and he leaves you to the whims of whatever you're having bitachon on. if you decide to have bitachon on the doctor, so he's going to own. So, you know, so Hashem's out of the picture, so to speak. That's called hesterponim. And the doctor orders a stress test, and look what happens. And Israel is boteach in America instead of boteach b'Hashem, and look what happens there. And he says, you're boteach in your money, so you'll be left to the stock market fluctuations. You'll be thrown to the winds. Hashem will be mesalek his hashgacha. If that's he talks about the negative, and he says, people who have experience, who have been through life, they know you somech on someone to lend you money because they're rich, because they like you, you know, and then you mitachzev time and time again. Misha boteach b'Hashem receives Hashem's hashgacha, and Hashem takes care of him. And if you boteach in other things, then Hashem says, okay, have it your way. And therefore, the number one toelus of bitachon is that you're just that much closer to Hashem, because Hashem is indeed, this is a somewhat difficult concept philosophically, but I think we are familiar with the idea of Hester Ponim, and Hashem sort of is Mesalek himself and leaves you to the, what was it, vagaries of fate, of the whims of people and the various calamities that can happen, and he just throws you to the wind. And if you're Boteach b'Hashem, you're always under his guidance and control and Hashgacha, and you have his Ha'aras Ponim. So that's benefit number one. Benefit number two is that you're not dependent on people. So again, he's not talking yet how to acquire it. He's just talking what the benefits are. You're not meshub with anybody. You're not going to be scared of your child's principal. You're not going to be afraid of your boss. You're not going to quake that your neighbor's going to say something to you, or your boss is going to do something to you, or that your friend is going to talk about you. And you're not going to go through life with that fear of what people will say. And therefore, it says, you'll be able to speak up against evil. You won't be machnif. You won't go along with the crowd if they're doing something wrong, because most of the time we don't speak up, and we're complacent because we're afraid of what's going to happen. If I speak up, ultimately my daughter's not going to do a shidduch. But so one of the benefits of bitachon is that you don't have that. You don't have that whole thing in your life that you're afraid of people. So you're free. It's a liberating experience, he says. And you're able to give mussar when that's appropriate, to give tochacha, and you're not afraid. You won't be machnif rishayim. You'll do the right thing. It's just tremendously liberating. That's the second benefit of bitachon. The third benefit of bitachon is that you won't be focused on olam hazeh, because when you're always nervous and you're always, if you don't have bitachon, so you're consumed with parnasa, consumed with what you need, and it consumes your life. And then you want to devote your life to higher values. There's no room, because you're busy. You're always busy, and you're running, and you're trying, and you're involved, and you're not relaxed. He says, it frees you to be Oved Hashem, because so much of your life is just going to melt away. You'll just have more time and more kochos and more cup. There'll be room in your head and in your heart to be Oved Hashem. You're not going to be consumed with parnasa, with money, with getting things all in hazeh. So that's the third benefit. The fourth benefit is that if, Baruch Hashem, you have money, he says, if you have money, many times money is a destructive force in your life. By Yishman Yeshurun by Yivot. It makes you complacent, it makes you think you're powerful, it makes you think Kaichi Baitzim Yadi, and the rich people think that they can write the rules and they can do what they want. And if you have bitachon, you won't fall into that trap. Because, as he'll explain, when you have bitachon. Do we start with? And if you don't have money, he says, this is all the same part of benefit number four. And if you don't have money, you won't be depressed. You'll be someach b'chelko. Again, how? We'll see as we learn. He's describing the benefit. If you'll be mistapik b'muat, you'll be able to cope with what you do have. And you'll be someach b'chelko. So it'll turn out you'll always be rich. Either you'll mamish be rich, and you'll be able to handle the money well, or you'll be someach b'chelko, and ezer washer someach b'chelko. So that's the fourth benefit, is you'll be able to handle money, which is so consuming in our lives. We'll stop here. We'll stop here. We really, yeah. Let me just tell everybody that free to go. It's after 10, free to go.
We consistently make decisions in life and throughout our day. How do we know that our decisions are like in the direction that are correct, that we can say, I'm relying on them, this decision is going to be the right step? In other words, like, I could just say, I'll try to gamble this one, I'm going to go to the casino, I'm relying on Hashem, we really have like millions of bills, like that's the wrong thing to do, to say I'm going to rely on Hashem, I go to the casino.
I think you're asking, again, we'll be going through Shara Bitachon, but it's pretty clear that we can't rely on Hashem to perform a miracle. So I think you're asking me, how do we know that our decisions are rational enough that we could have Bitachon then? Maybe it's in Somchin al Hanes. Maybe our decisions are so irrational that we can't have Bitachon, because it's a gather of Ein Somchin al Hanes. Is that your question?
What if it's not even like a miracle? It's just a person. Very often you come upon people that are making decisions that are not based on like a good, sound decision, and they want to rely on Hashem.
If it's not a miracle, you can rely on Hashem. But I didn't really answer your question, because sometimes people make decisions. If you go to the job interview and you come 10 minutes late and you walk in and you slap the lady that's interviewing you on the back and you say, how you doing? And you sit down and you put your feet up on the table and you say, yeah, okay. So you can't rely on Hashem that you're going to get the job. Right?
Yeah,
I sort of answered your question.
I did read once a story that if you really rely